Our scripture reading for today is taken from the book of Job, the first chapter beginning with the sixth verse. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. I was probably about confirmation age in 7th, 8th grade when I first read this text. And I just remember being so surprised by it. There's something kind of unsettling about it, isn't there? That the devil would stand in front of God and ask to go and cause trouble in a person's life, and that God would grant that. Here's devil standing in the audience of the angels before the throne of God, a place that he certainly had known before, prior to being cast out of heaven. And the Holy Spirit now gives us insight into this very, very interesting discussion. One commentator says, "The author transfers us from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven, where everything that is done on earth has its unseen roots, its final cause." And when you hear this text, if you're like me, the response that comes out inside of you is this the way it happens for me? Is this the way this goes? That the devil goes and stands up in front of God and has conversations to him about my life and about what's supposed to happen in my life and the things that are going to take place in my life? Well, we know our Lord said to Peter, "Satan has asked to sift you, has asked to tempt you." We know that Paul speaks about a great thorn in the flesh, and he calls it a messenger of Satan to torment me, and he pleads with God to take it away. Notice some things from this reading that we can learn for ourselves in our spiritual lives. First of all, notice this, that God takes pride, not our kind of sinful pride, but a righteous, holy pride, in the faith that he creates in us. Notice God's pride in Job, his faithful one. And he points to him and holds him up as a model of piety and devotion to him, in stark contrast to the devil and all of his wickedness and disobedience standing before him. Now Satan, of course, says to God, "Well, of course he's going to be loving toward you and devoted to you, because you've made his life so good and so easy. But let me have a shot at him." So notice here that the devil's intent is always, always to do us in and to have us curse God and ultimately to fall from grace. Notice in our text it's that he has been roaming back and forth on the earth, as the Bible describes him, like a lion prowling about. And as soon as he's given the permission from God to go down and to cause this calamity now in the life of Job, boy, he just takes off in a heartbeat. And he can't wait. And from that point on, if you read the next verses following this, you just see a constant drumbeat of trouble that starts to fall upon Job and his family members and his livestock and his household and his welfare, and ultimately, as you go into the story, even to his own body as he is afflicted. But we also see here in this text, God's hand is the one that either shields evil or permits and allows evil to have its impact. And that may be the part of this that's sometimes hard for us to comprehend. God's role in evil. God is, of course, never the one that causes evil, and yet he guides it. We read in the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. And so just like a rabid dog that is on a leash, God permits that dog of the devil to have a certain reach, to have a certain area and range of influence, and yet he's always holding him back in certain places as well. But when we see the impact that the devil can have in people's lives and the trouble that he can cause, and sometimes when it happens, as we see here in the case of Job, to people that maybe we know who are very faithful, wonderful, devout, pious people, why does God let this happen to them? It's a perplexing problem for us with our faith. Why does God let such horrible things happen to sometimes people even in their youth who have been faithful to him? It just doesn't seem to make sense to us. And it's one of the great challenges for us with our faith. It doesn't match up with our reasoning. But notice here as well that God has clearly set his hedge around his faithful. God has clearly been the one to determine only so far that things can go, as far as this evil will have its day in a person's life. And he shields them. And I often think to myself, when I hear this text, how much garbage in my life do I get protected from on a daily basis that I just don't even think about? How much stuff, if God were to lift his hand away from protecting me in certain places, how much horrific, awful stuff would just be raging on me and my family and my body and everything if God did not have that shielding hand to protect me? And it's so easy for us, I think, sometimes to forget that, to forget God's tender care and how he's doing all of this in an invisible way, shielding us with his holy angels, and we just don't even realize it. As the creator of your faith, God knows the limits of the faith that he has created in your heart, that trusts in him and in his Son, your Savior. God knows the limits that that faith can handle. Just like when a man who is a contractor, a builder of good homes, goes and builds a house, and he goes up on top and he starts laying down the boards for the roof, and now he's about ready to put the paper on and the shingles that will be coming. But before that, he goes and stands on the roof that he's built, and he begins to jump up and down on it to test how it is, and he stamps on that board to see how much pressure it can take, and he knows how many bundles of heavy shingles he can dump top of that wood before it would break through, and he knows not to put too many on there because it will fall through. So it is with God when it comes to your faith. God is the one who made your faith. That's comforting. You didn't come up with it. He created it. He's the one that causes you to love him, to love Christ, to love his word, to have the hope of going to heaven, to cherish having your sins forgiven. God's the one that put that faith in you. He knows just how much pressure it can take. And he wants to test it, like that builder, but he doesn't want to break it. That's very comforting. So in the end, it's comforting for us to know that the Lord is in the ultimate control of all of this. He's the one that sets the boundaries and the limits to evil. This should ultimately stimulate us to face all the adversity that the devil could ever throw at us and to have an ever-increasing loyalty to our God. It should also comfort us to know that the boundaries have been set of what we can bear. And God alone is the one who sets that line of demarcation of what our faith can tolerate. Isn't it great to think that the best known verse from the book of Job is that one where faith penetrates through all of this garbage and grabs onto Christ? I know that my Redeemer lives. God may choose to chase and test your faith. Maybe he's doing it right now. Maybe he's got some bigger tests coming up. But it's always with the intent of chasing your faith into a stronger position. Amen. Please rise. We join in singing the Te Deum. we offer prayers for two families. Two members of our Bethany staff have recently suffered the loss of a parent. Logan Shepherd, his father Daniel Shepherd, died at the young age of 52. And Patty Regals, her mother Lucille Swing, died at the age of 97. Let us pray. Lord God, our gracious Father in heaven, as each of these families now mourn the loss of their loved one, we pray that you would console and uplift them with the comforting knowledge of your sacred word, which directs our hearts to Christ, who has conquered death on our behalf. Grant them wonderful memories of the important roles their loving parents played in their lives. We thank and praise you for all the earthly blessings which shower down upon us through mothers and fathers. Keep all of us ready for the day when you call us from this veil of tears by granting us a steadfast faith in Christ, our only Savior from sin, that we may someday stand in your presence with all your faithful. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your boundless grace, for the sake of Son, you've given us the Holy Gospel and have instituted the Holy Sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and forgiveness of sin. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may believe your word, and through the Holy Sacraments, day by day, establish our faith, until we at last obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.